Titus chapter 1, verse 5. If you're able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete. This is Paul the apostle. He's talking to Titus. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Listen to that. For this cause left I thee in Crete. We'll talk this morning about that. For this cause. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your presence that we've already felt here, Lord, as we've sung the songs of Zion and give you praise and honor. We're looking to you today, Lord, to have a word for us for this very hour. Lord, I pray that through your word and me as your messenger, you would give us the very exact words to speak that you would, Lord, if you were here, that could bring life and encouragement and help and direction to every person, and certainly salvation to the lost, encouragement, Lord, and renewal for the backslider, that we can be the people of God you've called us to be for this hour in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. For this cause, just simple title. That's what Paul said here. For this cause left I thee in Crete. Have you ever felt abandoned? Maybe out of place? Maybe you felt left behind? I remember getting up in the morning and thinking mom and dad had left and I was there by myself. And I felt left behind. And the fear that would come over me as a young person as I'd begin to search through the house looking for mom. Maybe it was time for dad to be gone to work, but I'd be looking for mom. And I'd get scared because I was thinking that I wasn't where I should be with God. And maybe the Lord took mama and left me. The church was gone. And I'd run around through the house, hollered, "Mom! Mom!" I'd go outside. I'd go over to the sewing room. She had a little house out back of there and had a little sewing room. And I'd run out there and look at mom. And I'd run. And I remember time after time, I'd finally get to the back of the property where our garden was, and I'd see mom out there, have her little bonnet on. She'd be down picking beans or hoeing or doing something, and there would just be a sigh of relief come over me. I thought, oh, mom's here. I've not been left behind. You know, a lot of us, we feel left out. We don't fit in. You ever feel shipwrecked, like pretty much everything you've tried is falling apart? It happens today with a lot of lives, a lot of people. Marriages have fallen apart. Relationships, families, jobs gone, economy crashing around you, not just in our country, but then your money's run out. You feel like you've just come to that place. It's all a shipwreck and don't know which way to go. Last night, there's untold how many, hundreds and even thousands that took their lives because they felt like there was no reason to get up another day and face another day, another sunshining day, because of the gloom, the despair, the worry, the fear of it all. And they took their life. So a lot of people feel that way. It seems as if they feel like their life has no cause, no meaning. Here we see that Paul says, for this cause I've left you. Well, maybe you know, maybe you're in a situation like you're in because maybe you've made mistakes. Maybe you have sinned, you've failed, you've messed up, and it's caused repercussions, situations to take place. But you're never beyond the reach of the arms and the hands of Jesus Christ and what he's able to do for your life. He died for the sinner. He died for the one that is lost. He died for the one that is in a mess. Jesus made it clear to the people that ridiculed him. They said, you know, you look at you. You're eating with publicans and you're eating with sinners. You're going to. He didn't go to their bars with them, but he was at their house and he was with them, not hanging out, listening to their music, but there with them in a way that he could minister to them and show them the love of God. And he was ridiculed for that. And he said, hey, only the sick, they're the ones that need the physician. Those that are healed need no physician. He was hanging out with those that needed salvation because of that need in their life. They had a cause. And Jesus was the answer to that. They needed help. Jesus made it clear, whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Oh, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Every person can come to Christ because he died on that cross for all of us, not just a select few, not just a group. There's some that believe it was only the 144,000 He died for. No, the Bible teaches that nowhere. Jesus made it clear that He died. Even Jesus Himself said concerning the Father, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. There is a cause for us being where we're at. It's not by coincidence you're here this morning. There's a reason for you being here. There is a cause. A definition for the word cause in the way that we're using it this morning. Webster said, the source or reason for an event or an action. For an event or an action. A goal or aim or principle, especially for one which transcends purely selfish ends. For a reason that has no selfish ends to it. It's a cause. It's a reason. And, you know, you've heard this saying, he's fighting for a just cause. Yeah, we have a just cause. He's competing today, and the money that he wins, if he wins, that money's going to go to his cause, to his charity, to the things that he's fighting for. She is. Well, we have a cause. Paul made it clear to Titus here, for this cause left I thee in Crete. Maybe you're in the situation you're in this morning because God has a plan for your life. He's got a direction for you to go. There's people that feel like, well, man, I've served the Lord so long, and look, it seems like nothing's going my way, and I can't get it to work out. My ministry is struggling, or my the efforts that I'm trying to make is struggling. There's times that I feel like, you know, it seems to be useless what I'm doing. Paul said, for this cause left I thee in Crete. Why would he say that to Titus? Could it be that Titus was actually dealing with a little bit of discouragement? You ever been discouraged? The Bible teaches us that we're not to get weary in well-doing. If you know what you're doing is right and it lines up with God's Word, do it for the cause of God and for the reasons that are right. Not necessarily because you feel great about it. There's times that we have to do things for the Lord that is just right. And it's not necessarily that it makes us feel great. It's just the right thing to do. It's the right place to be because the Lord put me there. You've been put somewhere that really wasn't your idea, but you knew it was where God wanted you at the time. We fight against that a lot of times, don't we? Those of us that have been serving the Lord any length of time, we know there's been situations that we know God has dealt with us about, and we did not want to do it simply because it just wasn't what I wanted. I dealt with that Wednesday night about Jonah. He knew that he was supposed to go to Nineveh. God made it as clear as it could be made for him. The Lord told Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach, tell them I'm going to destroy the place if they don't repent. He knew the place, he knew the message, he knew the people, he knew what he had to do, and he knew how to get there. There was no guesswork for the will of God in Jonah's life. And yet, he went the other way because he didn't like what God said for him to do. There's people here this morning, the Lord has called you to be a teacher in a Sunday school class, but you're afraid, and you don't want to do it, and you push that back. There's people here, God has dealt with you to sing. He's dealt with you to be a part of the choir. He's dealt with you to go with Brother James out knocking on doors. But you just don't want to do that. You feel like you don't have time or this or that. And you're making excuses for the things that God is dealing with you about. Yeah, that happens to us. And then what happens is we get in trouble and there's issues going on. But I want to tell you this as well. There is times that when you're in the middle of the will of God, you will have a struggle. The devil's going to come against you. He's going to fight you. He's going to oppose you. He's going to make you think. He's going to try to mess with your mind and make you think that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not doing what I'm. Oh, I've messed things up here. And, you know, all kind of. You got to put this message to where you're at. Okay? There's no sense in me standing around here for an hour just trying to come up with different scenarios. You figure out where you're at and how this message applies. Because here's the thing. Maybe you're right where you're supposed to be and God's got a reason for you being there. And you're struggling with all that's going on around you. I've done that. I've met pastors that's done that, ministers, evangelists, missionaries. They said, oh, I'm about ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. Talked to a pastor friend not long ago. Things weren't going well. There was people in the church, just a small group, but they were against him. Things like that was bothering him. He was letting it affect his life. He was letting it affect his ministry. He was letting it affect every aspect of his life. He was down. He was discouraged. He was ready to throw in the towel. Nobody there to replace him. The people not looking for nobody else. He was just struggling. Maybe he was in Crete. Now, what is this place called Crete? From what I understand, it's an island somewhere around 35, 40 miles wide or deep, however you want to call that, 170 miles or so long. It was just an island out in the Mediterranean, if I'm not mistaken. Out there by itself, there wasn't a bridge going to it. There wasn't a lot going on that island. It would seem to be what you'd want. But on that island, there was like 100 cities. It was noted by some writers, they called it the Island of 100 Cities. Yeah. A lot of different little towns all over that island that was there. And yet Paul made it clear to Titus, I've left you there to ordain men of God and put them in the right place to get the church in order, because there's liars there and false teachers and there's problems there and circumstances and situations that are not ideal, and I need a man of God there I can trust. You know, Titus is a guy that loved traveling with Paul. He was a brave man, Brother Mick. He was a man that knew what it was to stand in the midst of adversity with Paul as the rocks are flying and the trouble's going on and the city's in an uproar. Titus knew what it was like to be with Paul in those situations, and yet he loved it. Yeah, there's people that likes action. Huh? You ever run across folks like that? They like action, man. They like a little fire, a little zip. Brother Carroll there, he's kind of like that. I mean, a man that wants to preach on the street, in front of the bars, and out in there, that want to deal with that kind of an app. They like a little action now. He loves that. That's his kind of thing. Brother Mick, he ain't a bit afraid of controversy. You ever seen anything like it? I mean, man, he just, the more controversy that comes at him, seems like the better he rises to the occasion. There's people likes that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get a guy like Brother Sanders over here. I mean, what kind of a deal is that? I mean, can you imagine that kind of boldness on the street? I mean, dude, if I was your size, I wouldn't be afraid of nothing either. Man. Good night. There's guys that like that. Titus was a man of action. He loved traveling with Paul. He loved listening to the man of God preach and teach. He hung on every word that Paul had to say. It would have been like, Brother Mick, it would have been like, traveling with Paul would have been like, for us these days, would have been able to go somewhere with Brother Clendenin. You know, there's great men. We've known great men of God. It would have been like being able to travel with Brother Ellis Allen or Brother Clendenin in their day and go with them somewhere. Oh, what an opportunity. You'd think, oh man, I don't want to do nothing else. I just want to go with this guy. I want to listen to him. I want to watch how he handles situations. I want to look and see city after city that is moved, and it comes to a ride or a revival because of the man of God and the anointing on his life. Titus loved that, and he wanted to be with Paul. Even if it would have cost him his life, he would have been willing to die next to Paul. But Paul left him. Didn't leave him in Jerusalem. Didn't leave him in his hometown. Didn't leave him in a city where they'd had a great revival necessarily, you know, and there was a lot of thriving. Left him on an island with a bunch of troublemakers. And Titus didn't like it. I don't think he had a bad attitude or nothing like that. It was getting him down, because every time he went to this place or that, he ran into liars and troublemakers and problems. You ever heard of the word hypocrites? Have you ever heard somebody say, I ain't going to that church because of the hypocrites? There's a hypocrite down there. There's a hypocrite over there. There's a hypocrite everywhere. If you find a church just got one hypocrite, you're doing good. You know, I don't know that any's here this morning. Hallelujah. Did I recover that one? Yeah. You know, nobody wants to. I don't want to hang around a hypocrite neither. But I've been guilty of hypocriting. And you have too at some point. We've all messed up and made mistakes and been foolish and let our mouth get ahead of our brain. said things we shouldn't have said, acted ways we shouldn't have acted, that the Lord wouldn't have been pleased. That's why there's an altar there. That's why there's one at home. That's the reason you can grab that steering wheel and pray. You've got to pray through every once in a while, or you'll get to hypocriting. There's problems everywhere. The thing is, where God puts you, maybe He put you there because He trusts you. Paul trusted Titus. And he knew that I can trust it. I can put this man here, and no matter what goes down, he's going to handle it. He's going to stay true to God, and he'll stay true to this great gospel, and he won't veer away from it. God's put you where He is. He has put you because He trusts you. Not to become a part of your environment and to become what they are, but to become what God wants you to be and make the stand if it costs you everything. You're in that factory. You're where you're at working right now. You're in those schools because that's where God wants you right now. You're there. Brother Carroll, you're not retired. I know maybe you are, but you ain't. God's got a work for you to do. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. Until the rapture takes place or the Lord calls us home physically, we got a job to do. And we're where we're supposed to be. And we're right in the middle of God's will. And hell is fighting. And it's going to fight. The devil's going to fight you. He's going to try. You say, well, now this job I've got, it ain't going good. The boss is he's a hammerhead and they're vile and they're crooked. All right. You be praying for God to give you another job. But while you're there, you're representing Jesus Christ and not your attitude and not your temper and not your opinions. You're there representing Jesus Christ. You're in that high school or you're in that elementary school and you wish you was in a good Christian school with a good godly environment, but you're not there. Well, while you're where you're at, you're representing Jesus Christ. And if you'll dare to get up in that morning and walk out that door and say, Lord, you go with me today, and you help me to be a light to every kid in that school, the Lord will stand with you in the midst of the adversity. He'll stand with you. He'll go with you. You're in a marriage. Things ain't going well. There's a struggle. Problems. You're trying to live for God. The other person maybe is not. Or maybe they think they are, but there's just struggles and troubles there. Amen. You're not in that marriage. Hey, at this point, did you say I do? You married? You made that commitment? You said till death do us part, better or worse, richer or poor? All right. Stick with your guns. You said that. And all of heaven will help you defend that spot. Do you know that? Now the devil will say, oh, you married too quick. You shouldn't have married that one. You should have waited and got this one. It would have been a better deal. Too late now. All right? Too late. You're married. But the thing is, God will give you a holy love to love that spouse in a way you could never love them before. God will give you grace to get through situations and help you to have mercy when you need to have mercy. And He'll give you the words that can turn away wrath. The Bible said a soft word turns away wrath. Not spouting off and running your mouth all the time. You don't always have to be right. You don't always have to give your opinion. You don't always have to point out everybody else's problems and failures. Shut up for a while. Live for God. Let Him use you in that place you're at. You'll make a difference there. He's got you there because He trusts you. And all of heaven will help you to be the man, the woman of God He's called you to be. Amen. I ain't mad this morning. I'm feeling pretty good. There's a cause. We have a reason. A cause. Hey, there's different things. Hey, matter of fact, I got a scripture for us right here. Marriage. Yeah. Here's what Jesus said concerning marriage. He said in different places. This is Matthew 19, verse 5. And Jesus talking here said, for this cause. Hey, got a cause. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And they twain, those two, shall become one flesh. That don't mean they took a chain and wrapped you up together and you got that chain and you're dragging that ball and chain around. That means you two become one flesh because apart from each other, you're incomplete. Now, if you're single this morning, don't You know, don't get bent out of shape. You just talk to God about this thing. All right? But if you're married, let me give you some good advice. Sir, without that wife, you're incomplete. You're just half the man you should be. You're just half the person you ought to be. God's got you in that relationship to complete that woman, and He's got her in your life and in your relationship to complete you. Lady, ma'am, woman, sisters, that's better, ain't it? That man is in your life to complete you. Jesus said, they too shall become one. How? Because together, walking with the Lord, they're a complete unit like God had in mind in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. They're not there to struggle against each other. Some people, you know, I say this every once in a while, but I just feel like saying this morning. There's people that say, women, you know, oh, men, why'd God make men so stupid? Well, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that one this morning. All right? Why'd it make men so stupid? Why they're so hard-headed, and they're this, and they're that. And they go on about how insensitive we are, and all this kind of stuff. And then there's men. They say, man, woman, can't live with them, can't live without them. Man, they ain't got no sense. They, you know, soft. They just this, that, and they'll complain. Look, a man usually is a pretty hard individual because God made us strong. He made us determined and driven. Ideally, the man is supposed to be the protector, the guardian of the house, the head of the house, not as the boss or the ruler with a whip and all that, but the head of the house as in, you're going to come through that door and get to my family, you will go through me. I'm here. All right? God made us that way. He made us strong. He made us tough. He made us what we're supposed to be the man of the house. Ladies are made to be the ladies, to act like ladies. To be the gentle one, the one that kisses the little baby and holds on to it, oh, and pets on it and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's the ladies, they do that. Aren't you glad men ain't just always around like a lady? Oh, that's so sweet. Precious. Had a guy walk into church here one day. Walked in, looked around, come out and said, Pastor, the sanctuary is so lovely. I said, my God. Yeah. You know, men ain't supposed to be that way. We're to be men. That's a lady's job to be like that. My wife is my effeminate side. I'm in touch with my effeminate side. Her name is Sherry. She's lovely. She does it right and perfectly. Yeah, she's in touch with her manly side. That's me. Bless God. Hallelujah. All right. God made us the way we are. We work together. We fit together. We become a complete unit in God's eyes. And then we can function. Now our family, the boys, our daughter-in-law, our granddaughters, they can see a man. We're not perfect, but they can see an example of a marriage with unity where we each know what we're to do. She's the soft, loving type. I'm the one that jumps up and says, hey, get out of the yard. You know. All right. Embrace the differences. Don't fight them. Ladies, you don't want your man to be a softy like you are. I don't mean that disrespect. Nothing. You don't want the man to be like you. Bless God. Yeah. And brothers, we don't want our ladies to be like us. I got to come back. Hey, the Lord instituted marriage. It's a cause. There's a cause for marriage, isn't there? What about healing and help? You got one for that? Yeah, Jesus said, and when, this is about when, in Luke 8 and 47, this is when the lady with the issue of blood came. She got touched. She healed. And said, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. This is after she touched him. And falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. And how she was healed immediately. Oh, there's a cause. Man, when you need healing in your body, that's a cause to get to Christ. See, there's a cause there, isn't there? Yeah, when you need salvation, deliverance, there's a cause. Jesus is able to fulfill that. He's able to reach that. John 18 and 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. Listen. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. For this cause, he said, came I into the world. Jesus came into the world to die for you. That's his cause. Why? Because we needed a Savior, and only he could do that. I know Copeland. Some of my other boys and faith boys, they claim that if they knew what Jesus knowed, they could have died for our sins. They're a liar. And nobody could die for your sins but Jesus Christ. He's the only way. I know them atheists say that the stars exploded and gave their life for you and you're created by stars. They're liars. Jesus. The stars didn't die for you. Jesus did. Amen. I heard him say that. Here's what Jesus said. Listen to this. John 3:14 said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, said it again, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the cause of Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross. Because you must have a Savior. You cannot go to heaven without Jesus Christ. You can't go to heaven through other religions. Only Jesus can save your soul. And only the blood of Jesus can wash your sins away. King David, when he was just a shepherd boy, getting ready to fight Goliath. Remember the story? David made that statement. His brother, what was it, Eliab? Full of jealousy, anger, angry that David was there. Lashed out against him, said, you didn't do nothing, boy, but come down here to watch the battle. You just need to go back home. Who's taking care of the sheep that you're supposed to be watching? Some people will attack you because you know the cause. Some people will attack you because you've got a reason to live. Yeah. There's some people that they're dying in their sins, and yet they hate you for doing what's right. I don't understand people that hate. They hated Jesus. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed people. He did miracle after miracle, done no evil to nobody, and yet they hated him. They hated him. The religious people, the Jews, Jesus, they're in the temple every day praying for the Messiah to come. They are. What is it? Mark 10 or 11. Jesus rides the donkey into town, gets out, walks into the temple, and the scribes, Pharisees, Jews are there praying for the Messiah, for his return. They looked around, and here he is. And they despised him when he showed up. He didn't come like they liked. He didn't come the way they wanted. He didn't do what they wanted him to do. Yeah, there's some people that's going to hate you. Jesus said, he said, they hated me, they'll hate you. Are you better than your master? They hated him because he'd done good. There's people that will hate you, despise you, and plot to tear you down and lie against you simply because you love them and you love God and you try to reach them with this great cause that we speak of. Amen. If you're a true Christian, amen, the world's going to hate you, folks. They will. They hated him, they'll hate you. David knew about the cause. He was hated of his brother, despised men around him. But he said, is there not a cause? That's what David said. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for somebody to stand against this giant? What's going to happen? We got an enemy that's come against the church. They're going to wipe the church out and bring it into slavery. And here's the instigator of it all, Goliath. And David knew that God was greater than anything the devil could come up with. And that God did not have a people that was to be brought into slavery. And I want to tell you this morning, the church of Jesus Christ is not to be belittled or held down by anything or anyone in this world. We have the only solution. solution to the world's problem. Want to fix the economy? Get Jesus. Want to fix the problem with morals? Get Jesus. Want to stop rape, murder, plunder, unwed pregnancy? Get Jesus. Want to get the world in shape? Get other countries getting along? Stop genocide, suicide? Get Jesus. He's the cause of it all. He's able to bring about a stop to sin and bring about life to all those that are looking for Him. He's not the cause to all the problem the devil is. But Jesus is the reason that He's the one that we look to. He's the one that we can run to. He brings the solution to every problem. If everybody was in this town like a real Christian should be, you would need no more locks. Brother Josh would have to get a different job. Yeah. Because we wouldn't need police, trouble, people to handle all the issues. If men and women were really, even if they weren't Christian, if they just act like it. If they would just take on the morality of what the Bible teaches, it would eliminate all problems. All problems. Amen. There's a cause. There is a cause that is greater than my cause. Yeah. Oh, I want to be happy. I want to have more. I want a nicer car. I want a newer truck. I want a nicer lawnmower. I know that's messed everything up. I want to go. I want to stay in Florida longer on vacation. I want to do this. I'll get all kind of things I want to do. My reasons for doing stuff, my motive behind what I do is to satisfy the flesh if I'm not careful. Amen. But if I'm going to be a real Christian, that I need to take on the cause of Christ and say, Lord, it's your will and not my will. It's what you want of me and not what I want. I want to live for the cause, don't you? I can't do it by myself. I'm not good enough. I'm not driven enough to do this by myself. I know it's what I need to do. The problem is doing it, being consistent with it. I can do it a day, sometimes a week, sometimes a month. And I struggle. I let up here on my praying. I let up there on my reading. I let up, and before you know it, I'm sliding back. Isn't it amazing how controversy can keep us in tune with Christ? And when things get good and everything's smooth sailing, it seems like we lose track with Him. David did. I just listened to that yesterday, reading that yesterday, how that David had conquered his enemies and done so much, and what great victories God had given him, promised him, and just every which way he turned, he shut the enemy down. God answered his prayer. Lord, go at this time? Yes. Lord, go at this time? No, wait. God, just constantly, every situation that he faced, in every battle, Philistines came, all these different countries coming against him, and God gave him victory, 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 victory. And then it said he was at peace with his enemies. He drove them back. They were scared of him. And in that time of leisure, it's when he walked out on his balcony, seeing the woman, lusted after, brought her in, committed adultery with her, murdered her husband in the time of leisure. Amen. I want to live for the Lord in my time of leisure. I want to live for the Lord whenever things are going good as well as when it's going bad. I don't want it to have, you don't want to have to have, be in a battle all the time just so you can serve God. I don't want to wait till there's no groceries on the shelves at Walmart to start praying for food. And being thankful for the bite I get. I'm going to be thankful today. If the Lord tarries and I can make it to the restaurant over, I'm going to have me a chicken something. I'm glad for that meal. I'm glad for the bowl of cereal I ate this morning. Grady and I sat down yesterday. Ate us a little bite. I said, just talk, There's times, I know this is really trivial. We have a little swimming pool there inside the house, We're up in the woods, good stuff. And, man, I love it. I can get out there hot, and I jump in that old water and cool down. But the last few times I've gotten in, Brother Mick, I get in that water. I think of how refreshing it is, and I always thank the Lord for it. And then I think, oh, God, I'm swimming around here in this water cooling off in something. There's other countries they ain't even got a drop. There's kids out there dying of thirst. There's animals out there. There's drought all over the place. And here I am swimming. You know, and what I'm saying is, we're so blessed. We're so blessed. Our country's not become what it has, you know, and been so blessed with all the things that we have. I was telling Grady, you know, we're somewhere around 5% of the world's population. That means 95% of the world is outside of the United States. Most of them don't have the luxuries we have. They don't have the food. They don't have the transportation. They don't have the homes, the clothing. They don't have the protection of military and police like we have. There's places in Africa, around the world today, genocide taking place. There's people coming in with machetes, hacking other people up, all kind of trouble going on. We're blessed. And the reason we're blessed is this nation was founded upon this great book we call the Bible. It's not been our skill and abilities got us here. It's been simply God's love and mercy and blessing. Because this has been a nation, although maybe all didn't, this has been a nation that looked to God, that trusted in Him and His Word. Amen. See, just the presence and honor of God's Word brings about a certain amount of blessing and peace. Whether the government believes in God or not, if they honor His Word, allow His Word to be where it should be, the nation is blessed. If the church puts God first and not the world, all right. You see what I'm saying? There comes a blessing. When I think about the food that we have, and oh, we're so blessed. I don't want to wait till it's gone. I don't want to go out looking for a drink of water and then say, oh God, I need a drink of water. And then when I get that little drink, just be so... I want to be thankful now. I want to bless my God now. I want to be a good servant now. I want to live for the cause every day. Don't you? Let's stand. We want our lives to have a purpose, meaning. We want to have a reason for living. We want to have a cause. None of us want to go the way of the grave and say, well, what will they put on? What will they say about me? Nothing. They won't say nothing about me. No, none of us like that. I ain't in no rush on the grave part, but you want your life to have some meaning. You want somebody to be able to say, they helped me. That person helped me. Stood around, I listened to, as they come by my Grandpa Osborne's casket, and I heard men stop and say, I'd trade places with that man right now because I know where he's at. There was men that hadn't served the Lord that said that. If I could, I know where that man's at because of the way he lived. And they would tell stories. Told about time, one man said, they was using a nail gun building something for my papa. The man pulled the trigger on that nail gun a little quick. And the nail, 16 nail went through his finger. Maybe it was an 8, but went through his finger. Said he was sitting out there holding the finger and it's all messed up. Grandpa Osborne walked out and walked up to him without saying anything, just reached and touched his hand. He started calling on the name of Jesus softly. And the Lord touched that man's hand and he told me later he wasn't saved. He said, God touched me. He said, I felt it. Oh boy, as far as I know, that boy's serving the Lord today. That was an impacting situation in his life. We can have a cause. It may not be great. Your name may not be on the sign. Everybody may not know all about you. But if you'll live for Jesus, the meaning of life will begin. You'll understand it. It's not about pleasing everybody. It's about helping. It's about serving the Lord and helping those that can be helped. Touching your children, your boys, your girls, your children. We have a reason. His name is Jesus. He loves you today more than you can understand. He has given more than we can even begin to fathom. All because He cares for you. Amen. These altars are open. Whatever your situation, would you come, pray, kneel at your seat, whatever you feel. But let's just talk to Jesus. Let's be thankful to Him. Oh, let's give it all to Him today. Let's live for the cause.